everybody. Welcome to The Kelly O Show. I'm your host, Kelly Alexa. This show is dedicated to inspiring women of all ages to pursue excellence in mind, body, and business. After decades of playing small in my own life and staying in the comfort zone, a couple of years of massive chaos and drama in my personal and my professional life forever changed me for the better. Through some tough lessons, I evolved, and I became a stronger and more confident version of myself, fearless, and finally, unapologetically, myself. I am now designing my life bigger and better than ever before, and most importantly, I'm designing a life on my terms that is full of joy and happiness. And I think that this is something that's been missing for so many women. They're either staying in the comfort zone like I was, or they've got a life that looks pretty good on the outside, but it's missing real joy and health and happiness. And that is no bueno. I believe that the future is female, and every week this show is going to bring you incredible interviews and live shows that I hope is going to motivate you to take massive action in your life, to leave the comfort zone and go all in, again, to pursue achieving excellence in mind, body, and in business. I hope you enjoy the show, and let's dive in. Hey, everybody. Welcome back to The Kelly O Show. This is part two of a two-part interview with Jordan Syatt. If you have not listened to part one, I promise you everything's going to make so much more sense if you go back and do that. So make sure you listen to part one before you dive into this, which is part two of this two-part interview with Jordan Syatt.
It's all of this stuff where they were getting away from the word diet. Did you observe that too, that they were like, we can't say diet?
Yeah, and it fucking drives me bonkers. It absolutely kills me when people are like, excuse me, I don't believe in the word diet. I'm like, excuse me, that's fucking stupid. Like, what does that mean, you don't believe in the word diet? Not to mention, if you actually just look up the definition of the word diet, it means nothing about weight loss. Diet just means what you eat habitually on a regular basis. That is it. Diet does not imply weight loss because people have special diets for certain allergies. People go on a diet if they want to gain weight. There are diets for everything. Whatever your diet is just what you eat on a regular basis. If you eat Cheetos and Skittles and pizza on a regular basis, congratulations. Those are part of your diet. Mm-hmm. Diet is not inherently bad. And this just, if you look at this from a psychology and behavioral perspective, by the way, it is the dumbest thing in the world to tell people not to say the word diet or to be afraid of the word diet. Because when you can think about this, I'm going to go to Harry Potter because obviously I'm obsessed. Hermione Granger said it best. Fear of a name only increases fear of the thing itself. If you are afraid to use the word diet, then you are giving the word power over yourself. Whereas if you just say, hey, I'm going to eat less in order to fucking lose weight, or I'm going to go on this diet, or I'm going to change my diet, you're not giving the word power over you. If you're literally not using a word or shaming other people for using the word because you think it's scary or you think it's a bad word, that is probably the single worst thing you could do for your mental and emotional health. It's ridiculous.
And I do want to bring this up because this is the God's honest truth. I was just telling people this the other day. Following what you said, caloric deficit, and literally being as I remember you said, and I went out and I bought a second calendar for my, I have a workout calendar where I record my workouts, and I bought a second Jordan calendar. I didn't call it a Jordan calendar, but I'm trying to make you do it. You should actually have a calendar. That's a good marketing idea for you.
That's
have
a Jordan, great idea.
You know, have like, here's my,
wow, you
know,
that's a
so
great
I created
idea.
A revenue stream for you. but you know, I had this Jordan calendar where you said, you know, 30 days, put a red X versus a black X if you were spot on and whatever. And so I'm recording these calories, and here's what I did. Because I wasn't obsessing over, oh shit, how many grams of fat am I supposed to have a day? Because if I wanted to have my, for the first time in 10 years, I went out, and you're going to laugh at this. I wanted my Lean Cuisine spinach pizza that I hadn't allowed myself to have for 15 years because, oh my God, it has dairy. Oh my God, it's fake food. Oh my God, it has carbs in it. It has wheat in it. It's bad. But you know what? It's a pizza that tastes good, and it's 330 calories, and it makes me happy to have that for lunch, and I'm going to have it. And I suddenly, after about 2 weeks of doing this, as somebody who has been an extreme psychotic, I call myself a psychotic dieter in the past, who is obsessed about food every second of the day, doing this has removed all the power food had over me, because I could go to the cabinet and see my man puts granola on his yogurt situation in the morning, his Greek yogurt thing. And I've been so obsessed with granola because it was always a forbidden food. And once I knew that if I really wanted to have granola, I could, but realistically, I'd probably be blowing 1,000 of my 1,600 calories. I'm like, screw it. I'm not going to have the yogurt. It's not a good choice. I'd rather have this or that. Like, food had no power over me because, and I think that goes back to what you're saying about diet. Like, I stopped saying I can't have it. I focused on what was important, consistency and calorie count. And it's just like that girl on your podcast. It worked first time in 2 years. It just worked and it's working flawlessly. And I wish I could shout it from the rooftops because it's so true and everything else is madness. And you're right. It's typically going to be tied to a product, promising claims that are likely not true.
It's very easy to sell a product, to sell an idea, to sell people on anything when you say something is inherently good or something is inherently bad. It's very easy to sell the ketogenic diet when you're saying and citing sources saying that carbohydrates are going to make you fat. It's very easy to sell a low-fat diet when you're saying and scaring people into believing that fat is going to make you fat. That's why these programs, these diets, these services, they have to demonize one thing in order to make the other thing seem like the solution. Mm. And for me, I mean, we could see just very commonsensical examples of this all over the world. If carbohydrates, for example, made you fat, we'll take white rice as an example. White rice is very often demonized as this awful food. It's going to spike your insulin. It's going to make you fat because it's carbs and it's rice. Interesting. Go to Japan. They have rice every fucking day. And this isn't just me saying that out of my ass. That's like, there are studies. If you look at just the population base, they have white rice oftentimes at least once, if not 2 to 3 times a day. Not only do they have one of the healthiest body weights in the world, they also are among the healthiest in the world, and they have white rice consistently. Look at the Mediterranean diet. Very much includes a lot of carbohydrates, a lot of breads, a lot of vegetables that are higher carb. Then you could go to other populations that have higher fat foods, whether it's Alaska or foods with they don't have much access to carbohydrates, where they eat a lot of fatty fish. It's like there is not one macronutrient or one food that's going to make you fat. It's that you're putting too much fucking food in your mouth on a consistent basis. It doesn't matter if it's carbs or if it's fats. You're eating too much. Then we could go all the way to the other example where people are like, well, I don't think I'm eating enough. I think I'm actually eating too little. And so my body is signaling to myself that I need to store all this body fat. I'm like, are you stupid? Do you know anybody in the history of ever who has gotten fat from eating too little? That's never happened ever. And for people who are like, well, you don't know, because I'm eating too little, then my body gets really stressed out because I have high cortisol. I'm like, okay, cool. So you're saying cortisol makes you fat and eating too little makes you fat. So let's take that to the scenario of the people who are probably the most stressed in the world and really not eating enough at all. We'll go to, and you know, I have to say this because people have called me up for it. I'm Jewish. I worked with Holocaust survivors. For some reason, they think that it's not fair if someone who isn't Jewish or worked with Holocaust survivors, but you go to Auschwitz. There were no fat people in Auschwitz, and they are the most stressed people in the world, and they were not eating enough. They were all massively underfed, or you take people with severe anorexia. They're not overweight because they're not eating too. They're very stressed, and they're not eating enough. It's like, if you are gaining weight, it is because you were eating too much, period, end of story.
God, that's so, and I was hoping, I wrote that down. I'm like, starvation mode, please bring up starvation mode. Because, so this is an appropriate time. And I posted this on the Kelly O Show Instagram stories one time, and I'm going to repeatedly post it and go, let's let go of these stupid contradictions. And the sad thing, Jordan, is this is what also strikes me about you is you're a trainer and you're one of the few that I see out there who's like, look, you know, if you want to be paleo, have at it. If you want to be vegetarian, have at it. Like, I'm not telling you, you can't do that. I've worked with 4 or 5 different personal trainers, and I have mad respect for all of them. But one thing that was common with all but one of them, Whitney Jones was never this way, but all of them would criticize anybody else's advice but their own. And this is some of the advice that I, Kelly Alexa, I think you're going to start laughing. These are what I have been told by my trainers. You shouldn't eat after 6 p.m. or after 7 or after 8. Eating breakfast is good for you and you have to do it. Eating breakfast is bad for you and you should be fasting. Just go paleo. You don't have to count carbs. Just go keto. You don't have to count, or excuse me, you don't have to count calories. Cut all carbs, cut all fruits, avoid fat. Fat is good for you. You should have more fat. You should have a lot of fat. You should be focusing on fat. Eat a lot of fat, but healthy fats only. And then you don't have to count how much fat. You can have unlimited fat. Avoid all foods with a label. Avoid all sugar. You have to eat every 3 hours to burn fat. No, you have to do intermittent fasting to lose weight. Wait, intermittent fasting causes starvation mode. One big meal is best. Three meals is ideal. Snacking is the way to keep your body in fat burning mode. Snacking puts you in fat storage mode. Cardio is old school. Avoid all cardio. Don't avoid HIIT training. Some low intensity, steady state cardio is okay, but not too much. Only do fasted cardio. Running is bad for you. Running emaciates you. Running puts you in fat storage mode. Running elevates your cortisol. Why would you do running? Cardio fasted is too stressful on the body and causes adrenal fatigue. There's no such thing as adrenal fatigue. Running is awful. Running is great. I'm almost done. Diet soda fools your body into storing fat. I know you've addressed that one. My last trainer in Austin told me this. All carbonation is bad and causes bloating and causes you to gain weight. Coffee is good for you, but coffee is bad for you if you put anything in it. You should avoid all fruit. You should avoid all ketchup. You should avoid all sweeteners. Avoid all sugar. Avoid all dairy. Avoid all gluten. Avoid all nightshades. Any starchy vegetables. Avoid restaurants. Alcohol is awful for you. Fake protein is bad for you. Anything from a can is bad for you. Almond milk is bad for you. All of those are the things, Jordan, that I've been told by my trainers.
Yeah.
What does that make you think?
I mean, it makes me think of, it gives me a little bit of a headache, but I mean, I've heard all of those and it's funny. You could easily go on for an hour at that rate of talking and have many, 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 many more. But that's the thing is like, I understand why there's so much confusion because everyone is saying something different. And just like you said, everyone is criticizing everybody else except for themselves. And that's why for me, I think the easiest way to tell someone who's actually telling the truth and someone who knows what they're talking about is they're probably going to give you advice that you can implement on your own for free as opposed to using their specific program.
Good point. Like
if someone is saying the only way to do it is this way and all other ways suck, then probably they don't have your best interests at heart. And if they're saying the only way to do it is this way, and I'm going to teach you with my special system, probably not your best interest at heart. Not saying that selling things is bad, but if they're selling you something by demonizing other things, usually not a good look. For me, the way, and you mentioned it earlier, and I really want to clarify because it's super important. I don't care what you eat. I don't care how you eat. You can be plant-based. You could eat carbs. You could not eat carbs. You could eat before 6 p.m. You could eat after 6 p.m. I don't care what or how you eat. All that matters is that you keep track of how much you eat. That is it. Mm-hmm. Eat whatever you want in whatever quantity you want, as long as your total calories are in check. If you do that, you will succeed. I promise you. That doesn't mean that will optimize your health. That doesn't mean that will be the optimal way, because now you can start to get in the nitty gritty in terms of if you're keeping your calories in check, but you're eating only Twinkies, then obviously that's not going to be great for your health. But I think a lot of people need to first and foremost get a better understanding of how much they're eating. And usually a side effect of tracking how much you're eating will also be improving the foods that you're eating. That's usually just what happens when you start to realize that you're eating 4,000 calories a day when you should be eating maybe closer to 1,800. And all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, I'm so hungry eating this few calories. What's going to happen? You're going to start to eat the foods that are going to fill you up for fewer calories. And that's going to be the foods that are going to be more nutrient dense, more vegetables, more fruits, lean proteins. So
that's such a great point.
It's just, it all comes as an aspect, and which is why I hammer so hard on calorie deficit. This is why I beat that drum so damn hard, because people don't know where to start. And I'm telling you, start with how much. Don't worry about as much about where it's coming from or the nutrient density. Don't worry about that yet, because you will do that as a side effect of focusing on total energy first.
That's so true. And that's exactly, God, I wish I could hug you right now.
That's why you stopped eating the granola. That's because you're like, this is not worth it anymore.
Yeah.
It's like, that's literally it. You're like, it's not that you can't have granola. You can, but you decided it's not worth it because it's not going to fill you up enough.
Yeah. It's like if you have a certain amount of dollars in your wallet, are you going to spend it all before 9 and have nothing left to spend? You know, if you're going shopping and exactly what you said, which is, you know, look at Kelly Alexa as the typical example of number one, I have not been consistent on so many things because I hopped from one plan to the next. I listened to too many people giving me too many inputs. I remember I was doing like faster rate of fat loss. Then I hired my Gold's Gym trainer. My Gold's Gym trainer, God bless him, he was great at training me, but I will say this, he's the one that gave me a lot of that advice. Like I'd come in and he'd go, "What'd you eat yesterday?" And I'm like, I'd be scared because I knew whatever I told him I ate, he would go, "Oh, you made turkey meatloaf with ketchup on it." I never eat ketchup. Yeah. And I'm like, fuck, what do I eat? And then I'd go, you know, well, I like this. I really avoid carbonation. Why? Because I cut soda. So he's like, yeah, but now you're having like soda water with lime. That's bad for you. And then that's the lime juice is sugar. And what? So I got to that. Yeah. I got to that point where I was scared of everything. And so then I would go home and I'd read books about adrenal fatigue and hypothyroidism and all the shit. And when I, again, when I applied, I went from somebody who's so confused, so stuck, so blaming all of my issues. And you guys have listened to me. I've complained and whined and bitched that I can't lose weight and all this stuff. And guess what? I listened to his podcast. I applied his principles. I focused on this. And I, the first thing that happened was it was glory because I could let myself. And one of the things I had, Jordan, was Rice-A-Roni. I hadn't had Rice-A-Roni, broccoli and cheese, whatever it was, since my days at Ohio State. And I'm like, I want Rice-A-Roni and that's what I'm going to have for lunch. I'm going to make a whole package of Rice-A-Fucking-Roni and I'm going to eat it and I'm going to love it. I'm going to lick the pan. And I had it and I counted my calories and I had that for like three times in 1 week. But here's what the next phase that naturally happened for me, everybody. First, I counted my calories. I let myself have whatever I wanted. Within 3 to 4 days, my man noticed that I lost weight. I noticed I was losing weight. I was like, oh my God, talk about something that's going to keep you going. After I did it for about a week or so, just what you said, there were a couple of days where I let myself have some sweets and then I was spent. I was spent with my calories at like 4 o'clock. And then Steve would come home and he'd want to eat dinner at 7. I'm like, I'm done. And I got to stick to my window. So that's when I started naturally learning, not because not allowed to have this, not allowed to have this. I'm like, I got to be smarter about, like you said, eat a big salad at lunch every day. Or maybe you said just eat a big salad one time because you'll get full. And then you want to have smarter calories. And then if you know, like, if I know I'm going to go out for dinner and have alcohol on Friday, I count that as my heavy calorie day. And I work that into my caloric deficit for the rest of the week. I can have whatever I want whenever I want it. And it's the best thing ever. And I'm losing weight easier than I ever have in my life. And I want all people to have Jordan Syatt glasses to be able to look at everything else skeptically. And there's another marketing idea for you. You should put out Jordan Syatt 3D glasses because, you know, I had a friend, you talked about keto and I won't mention any company's names, but it's a direct sales company. And I love them. I'm a member of one of them. So I'm not bashing the concept, but she's like, oh my God, I've lost 10 pounds on this keto thing, first time in a week. And so I go to the website and it says, if you drink these exogenous ketones, you'll lose weight. And then here's the plan: low carb breakfast, which is like 200 calories, low carb lunch, 200 calories, drink exogenous ketones in between because that's what's going to make you lose fat, and then have a dinner. So guess what, people? If you have two 200 calorie meals and then maybe even a dinner of 1,000 calories, that's 1,200 calories. You're probably going to lose weight whether you're eating ding dongs and Krispy Kreme donuts. Like, why do people not see that that's why they're losing weight? Do you think that they're just like missing the simple logic? Because they'll fall for the fact that, oh, I have to buy these $100 a month ketones.
Well, yeah, I think it really comes back to that illusion of complexity where it's like, you would never have your dog drink these exogenous ketones, but you just have it eat fucking less dog food and walk more. But for yourself, you think, oh my God, there's something different. I've got to drink these ketones. And I think something that's really important to realize is what you're saying, it sounds just insane to people. Like, oh my God, I'm losing weight easier than ever before. It sounds like a commercial. And usually when someone says that, they follow up with, you've just got to buy this program or buy these ketones or buy this supplement. I think it's really important to remember that all we're saying is, keep track of how much you're eating. That's it. We're not selling you anything. We're not saying you have to buy this program or buy this diet or do, it's just keep track of how much you're eating. And not only that, you can eat whatever you want. Just make sure that you're keeping track of how much. And I think this is the difference that you really have to be aware of when you're being a fitness consumer and there are so many different marketing scandals and so many different options to choose from. Look at how they're framing certain things. Because the reality is everything works. And I'm not saying the keto diet doesn't work. I am saying that the ketogenic diet only will work if you are in a calorie deficit first. If you are not in a calorie deficit and you're doing the ketogenic diet, you will not lose body fat. Mm-hmm. If you are, you can do paleo, you can do keto, you can do intermittent fasting, you can do the Mediterranean diet, you can do South Beach, you can do Weight Watchers. I don't care what you do. I don't care what you spend your money on. Just make sure that your total calories are in check, because none of it will work if you are not first in a calorie deficit. And a lot of these programs that they either, let's say keto, for example, they more or less eliminate carbohydrates, like not fully. It's usually about 100 grams of carbs a day, which is next to nothing, 100 grams or less. By more or less eliminating how many carbs you're eating, you're eliminating an entire macronutrient. So surprise, surprise, you're eating fewer calories. A lot of the lower fat diets, well, cool, you're eliminating more or less an entire macronutrient. So surprise, surprise, you're eating fewer calories. The diet like paleo or more plant-based diets, what happens? Oh my God, you're hopefully eating more fruits and vegetables. And oh my God, you're eating fewer calories. So you're losing weight. Weight Watchers, they're counting points and they've attributed points instead of calories because points are, they sound easier, they're less complex, they're easier to count. Surprise, surprise, you're eating fewer calories. It all comes back to that. That's the just, you have to realize anytime there's a program that's trying to get you to lose weight, the whole focus is trying to find ways that will get you to reduce calories. And if you really think about it, if you know anything about marketing or sales copy, they have something called a unique hook. If you're going to sell a product, what's the unique hook? And if you don't know any of this, you don't know what this means, do a cursory amount of research on sales copy and marketing and Google search the term unique hook sales copy. You'll find that in order to sell a product, you want to have a unique hook with whatever it is you're selling. And oh my God, how unique to remove a certain macronutrient, how unique to only focus on this, but allow yourself to eat whatever you want of anything else. That is a very unique hook. And the more you understand why things are selling or the psychology behind sales, now you'll start to see that in fitness products as well.
So true. I think a good thing, because this is, I have a soft spot for people like this. You know, I used to work in corporate America and I still have a lot of these folks that are in agency world, former clients of mine that are still in corporate America, right, at a desk job. And I always see somebody who's in their 40s or 50s, and it's usually a guy, actually. This is probably a good point to close on. Because I always want to help these people, and I see them doing the same thing about this time of year, every year. I'll see some guy, you know, go, well, I went to the doctor, and I'm thinking of one guy who I've seen him post this every year, and each year he has to lose more weight because he's never lost it the way before. So he's like, you know, I went to the doctor, my cholesterol's high. He told me I've got to lose, first it was 50 pounds, then it was 75 pounds, now it's 100 pounds. And he's like, so I'm trying to decide, buy a Peloton or Planet Fitness? What do I do? And nobody ever looks at their diet. This is my observation. I don't know if you see this too. I see people who are completely not in our fitness world, right? Like, so they're not familiar with macros and protein and reps and gyms and all of that. They're like the outside fitness consumer, right? And so they're starting to lose weight and they think of things like, whatever Marie Osmond is showing, Nutrisystem, stuff like that, right? And they'll see, I see them going, oh, I'm Peloton. I see people getting ripped with that, or SoulCycle. And they're only thinking about, it's still this theme of like, if I just do some excessive cardio, that's how I'll lose weight. And they really don't have any idea of how they need to diet. What do you say if somebody like that comes to you and says, well, should I just, you know, like, how do you get across to people that you can't, now I understand what it means when someone says you can't out-train a bad diet. Like, how do you address that?
It's a really good question. And there's a lot behind it. And I think it really begins with understanding that by and large, most people, not all people, but most people, especially people who are struggling to lose weight, they think they're eating perfectly. They think that they're, or if not perfectly, they think they're doing well enough. They think that they should be making more progress based on how well they think they're eating. And it's not that they're lying. They legitimately believe that they're eating better than they are. There's actually a lot of research on this. If you look in the research around how many calories people are eating, when people who are struggling to gain weight estimate how much calories they're eating, consistently and statistically, they overestimate it. And people who struggle to lose weight, they underestimate it. And it's not because they're lying. It's just they legitimately don't know how much they're eating and they think they're eating less than they are. For me, the easiest way for me to do that is this. Because if you look at human psychology and behavior, anytime you tell someone not to do something or you try and like create a defense, immediately they're going to start going head to head with you. And so when you start saying like, well, no, you don't need to do that. You need to do this. Immediately they're going to be like, fuck off. And right, don't tell me what to do. So for me, what I say, I'm always like, listen, you're more than welcome to do HIIT class. You're more than welcome to go to Planet Fitness. You're more than welcome to do CrossFit, spin. I don't care, whatever. But when you're doing whatever it is you're doing, all I want you to do is track exactly how many calories you're eating for 3 days straight. That's it. Let's just look at how many calories you're eating. When they do that, number one, it's great because now they're starting to exercise, which I love. Number two is every single time, and I mean literally 100% of the time, they're shocked at how many calories they're eating. They cannot believe. They're like, oh my God, I had no idea that 16 almonds was that many calories. I had no idea that I was eating so much here. I had no idea that I was taking so many bites of my kids' food when I was like taking it away after dinner. I had no idea that I was eating so much while I was cooking. I had no idea that I was eating so many snacks at work. It's one of those things where it's not that you're stupid. It's that you just aren't thinking about it and it's subconscious and you don't know and you aren't aware, which is why for me, you have to have the knowledge first before you can expect anybody to make a change. So I'll never say like, hey, don't do that class or don't do that exercise. Cause for me, any exercise is good and it's anything is better than nothing. Not to mention if I'm really going to inspire a change within someone, I have to really pick my battles. And so if they're going to go to the exercise class, amazing. But in addition to that, just do me a favor for 3 days, track how many calories you're eating 100%. And oftentimes I'll try and say, do at least one or two work days and one or two weekend days, because the weekend days are oftentimes where they really shit the bed, but like, or like work at night. So like when they track those calories every single time, they're like, honestly, I had no idea it was this much. And so for me, instead of saying like, okay, so here's what you need to do, I'll be like, oh wow, that's really good to know. What do you think you should do? And they're like, at that point, once they've now tracked for 3 days, they're like, I got to get my diet in check. Like, because now they know, it's staring them right in the face. It's no, there's no ambiguity. They aren't going based off how they feel. And even you were saying earlier how you used to think that, you know, your diet was great and you're eating organic and everything was good until all of a sudden you started to track and you're like, oh my God, like it's way too much.
Mm-hmm. I will use myself and I'll wrap it up here by saying, cause I remember sharing this. I was just on a business trip and I was out in Phoenix and, I didn't have a rental car. So I was eating at this La Madeleine place right next door to my hotel. Surprisingly, they had like a great egg white omelet. I mean, you walk in, it's nothing but carbs. It's like candies and croissant and everything bread, right? And I remember I walked in and I chose to have this great egg white omelet. I didn't have the bread, but I chose like one of the things I fantasized about for the past 10 years and denied myself is bran muffins. I'm obsessed with bran muffins. And they had this bran muffin staring, Kelly, come eat me. I want you. I want to be in your mouth. It was like this pornographic eating moment. And I ordered it and I said, okay, I'm going to have my egg white omelet first and then I'm going to have my cappuccino. And so I counted all my calories and I knew, you know, like the egg white omelet was 300 calories that, you know, that, so I was at 800 calories. It was the 50% of what I was supposed to eat for the day, but I made that choice. And then I ended up going out to lunch with a friend and we had a salad. And by the time I counted that salad, you know, here's where I was at. I was really close to that 1600 calories. And because that bran muffin didn't fill me up, by 6 or 7 o'clock, I was super hungry. And I remember I made the choice. I'm like, I'm going to go over my calories, but I think I went back and I had another egg white omelet. All that to say, before I was recording stuff and really paying attention, historically, I'd have a day like that when I would travel for business and I'd look back and mentally go through the day and I'm like, well, let's see. I had an egg white omelet. I had almond milk cappuccino with stevia. So that was good. I had an egg, you know, I had some carbs, but that's okay. I would mentally go through the day and I would look at the quality of food. I would say, oh, well, I had a salad and I had olive oil on it. So that was good. I had healthy fats. And then I had steak for dinner and I had a sweet potato on the side. And then I didn't have butter on it and I didn't have alcohol. So I'm good. But the truth is, even though it was quality food, I was way overeating and that's why I stayed in a plateau for a long time. And so just to wrap up and reiterate something Jordan said a couple minutes ago, I have not paid Jordan a dime. I haven't bought any of his programs. Full disclosure, I'm joining his inner circle today because I thought it was invite only. I told him before we got on the show and it's not. It's anybody can buy it and it's $25 a month, which is ridiculous. So you should sign up. I'll link to it. But I'm joining his inner circle today. But until today, I have not paid him a dime. Everything I have learned and applied from him has been completely free. It's been on his YouTube channel, on his podcast. He puts out a shit ton of amazing, information. I have learned so much from him. My man has learned from him. My audience has learned from him. I talk about him all the time. I think he's the best thing ever. But back to what he said before, he has not said, oh, you're only going to lose weight from a caloric deficit if you buy my book, if you're in my inner circle. Like, it's just a premise that applies whether you buy a product or whether you're keto or not, whether you're buying organic food or crappy food. He has a Big Mac challenge he did or an experience for a month that's really cool and kind of proves the point. So I really encourage you guys. I don't even want to say encourage. You must go follow him and check him out. So Jordan, in closing, tell people where they can find you, stalk you, buy for everything from you, and learn from you online.
Well, what I'll say is this. I'll say first and foremost, I would encourage everyone to not buy anything from me until you've seen my content first and you see if they resonate with you. Don't buy anything. And I'll say this because I really mean it. Everything that is available that you need for weight loss or strength gain is available for free online. Like, everything is for free. I'll say, if you decide that you want to join my inner circle or whatever it is, do it if for nothing else. Number one, you appreciate my content and it's helpful. But number two is because the community aspect. If you struggle with, you don't have a good community or an environment around you of people who are encouraging or supportive of your health and fitness, and you find it difficult to stay on track, that's probably the greatest benefit of it, is that there are workouts, there's nutrition guidelines, and there's videos and everything. But the environment, the people in there, in the group community that support you and encourage you, that's really where the benefit is. And if you look in the research, there's an unbelievable amount of information supporting the need for accountability and an encouraging environment in your life. But with that said, I would say my YouTube, Jordan Syatt, S-Y-A-T-T, my podcast, the Jordan Syatt mini podcast, my Instagram, Syatt Fitness. If you Google my name, Jordan Syatt, you'll find a lot. But again, don't buy anything from me until you actually like look at my content, see if it's helpful. And if you decide that you want to use it, great. If not, you can Google whatever you want and find it for free.
I think you're so awesome. I don't know. I'm not surprised at all that you said that. And people know me. They just know, like, when I find somebody or something I love, I'm like, go buy everything. I love them. You have to buy it all. But that's just the way I am. But I love that you said that too, because, and I'm telling you guys, once you stumble on him, you will learn so much from him. I mean, I've got like a private Facebook group for women. It's just accountability. I'm not running programs or anything like that, but I put your videos in there all the time. I'm like, this is the guy who's changed my life, and you'll learn so much from him. Not to mention he's amusing as hell and hysterical. So, Jordan, thank you so much. You were so generous with your time. We've gone over, so I want to respect that. Thanks everybody for tuning in. I will link up to everything that Jordan mentioned in the show notes at thekellyoshow.com. If you have any questions, hit me up at kellyolexa.com. You can just use the contact me form. And until next time, we'll see you guys on the Kelly O Show.
Hey everybody, this marks the end of this two-part interview with Jordan Syatt. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I sincerely hope that after listening to this episode, if you've been like me, stuck, frustrated, feeling like you're overanalyzing everything and getting nowhere, I hope you really go subscribe to his YouTube channel, follow him on Instagram, gobble up everything he puts. He puts so much great information out there. It certainly has changed my life, and I encourage you to check him out. And I love that he's so down to earth and humble and sincere that you heard him at the end of the show. He's like, look, don't go and buy from me. Check out my free stuff first and see if that helps you. And then think about, you know, joining his inner circle or, you know, checking out some of his other coaching programs. I think he's an extraordinary human being, and I'm just so grateful for him. So I really hope you enjoyed this show. If you did, I would love it. Not only this show, but other shows that have made an impact on you. Spread the word, share these episodes, share this podcast with other people. This is how we get this podcast to grow. I'm putting a lot of time and investment and energy into creating an exceptional show for you. And it would certainly mean the world for me if you would share it. And of course, lastly, if you haven't taken the time to leave us a 5-star review on iTunes, I would be so grateful if you would. That helps the show as well rise in the rankings. And my goal is to do big things with this show in 2020 and beyond. So thank you so much. If you have questions, hit me up over at kellyalexa.com. Just use the contact me form and that'll get right to me. That you can use that same method of contact if you want to reach out about sponsoring the show, or if you would like to nominate somebody that I interview for the show. You can do that or just email kelly@kellyalexa.com. Thanks everybody for tuning in. We'll see you next time on The Kelly O Show.